I think we're going to start in Hebrews 12. This is a very interesting message to me, and I want to get the. I need to give some credits here because I'm using a letter from my good friend, my brother from another mother, up in Ohio, and you really see the love of Christ manifested in him. He's a gentle giant, and he attends Jim Martin's church, and I've got his letter here today. And he was basically, in this letter, reviewing, he pulled out some excerpts from the Blueprint for 2020 that really spoke to him. I've done that same thing. Tim and I have even compared notes, you know. The title of today's lesson is going to be something like, Refuse Not Him Who Speaks From Heaven. Refuse Not Him Who Speaks From Heaven. And so that's why we're in Hebrews 12. And okay, we'll pick it up in verse 18. I'm after verse 25. But for you are not come unto the mount that might be touched. Now he's talking about Mount Sinai, the old covenant, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. They couldn't bear it when they heard God. In the old covenant, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. So terrible was the sight that Moses said, even Moses, I exceedingly fear and quake. See, personally, I'm glad we haven't come to that mountain. But you, that's us, you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, in verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And here's the verse. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Now notice it does not say, see that you refuse not him that spoke. Now he did spoke. back up to chapter 1 of Hebrews, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken. See that spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. But today we're emphasizing, well, during the 3.5 years that Jesus was on the planet, in his own physical body, he spoke. And he spoke the kingdom of God. And he plainly told us, which we exhorted on a week or two ago. He says, I didn't say anything of my own. I didn't create this doctrine. I didn't come up with anything that I've said to you. I have only spoken to you what the Father is saying to me. No wonder he's called the Word of God. Nothing came out of his mouth. When it really dawned on me, I was going, oh my God, talk about a standard. What if we all aspired to the place? A friend of mine recently said, now Gary, every time you talk, it's either you talking or him talking. What if we all aspired to the place that when we speak, it's only him talking? I think we're in revival then, you know. That's raising the bar. I've never even quite thought of it like that, but that's what he did. Well, now, he has spoken. We can see it plainly that in these last days he hath spoken, verse 2, spoken unto us by his Son. Well, thank God for all of the red letters in our Bible where the Son came and delivered unto us. He spoke to us all of that. And that is the foundation for his church. It's the foundation for Christianity. It's the foundation for how we live. But go back over to Hebrews 12, though, because they could have used that word. They could have said that. That's not what they said. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Present tense. He's still speaking. I like to say it this way. Jesus is alive and well. Thank you very much. He's still the head of the church. I remember in the early days, I would get so jealous. I'd say, this is not fair. Peter and James and John, every day of their life, when they're walking with you, they didn't have to guess what it was you wanted them to do. They didn't have to guess what town to go to. They didn't have to guess what you wanted for breakfast. They would just ask you, and then you'd tell them. And that's not, you know, a little whiny boy, you know. That's just not fair. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Till you find out about the Holy Ghost. See, before anyone ever thought of email, before anyone ever thought of text, before anyone ever thought of telephone, Jesus had already devised a way for every single human, say it this way, every single child of God on planet Earth to hear from him daily, just as if he was physically walking side by side with him. 22 years ago, the Lord told me that through the face-to-face documents. I have not nearly walked in the level of that I should. If you don't know what the face-to-face documents are, it's a series of teachings that he gave me back in 1998. That'll date it a while. But he said, it's plainly, refuse not him that speaketh from heaven. So I've got way more than we can do in an hour, so I'm going to have to follow what I'm going to see the footprint step right there. Okay. I've been doing some teachings online. COVID-19 is not restricting the outreach, no matter what it looks like. It's actually expanding. But this series that I've been teaching, because everybody wants to know how to hear God. See, we say, well, yeah, okay, I see here, Brother Gary, that it says, refuse not him that speaketh. My trouble is, I'm having trouble hearing him that speaketh. So I've been doing a series of teachings on that very subject, and I brought some notes with me. And I broke it up into three parts. If you make notes, now, everybody probably in this room knows what I'm about to teach. You could probably teach it as well as me. But you might take some notes. It might help you help other people, okay, as you teach them. Because soon, you're going to be the ones teaching the apostles' doctrine. Just saying. You'll see what I mean here in a minute. All right. So I've been teaching it on three levels of hearing God. What's the first level? Well, go over to Acts chapter 2. This is a real good example. And this is after the day of, this is on the same day as the day of Pentecost. 120 had been in the upper room. The Holy Spirit fell. They all began to speak with other tongues. It was during the feast of Pentecost, so there were many people there to celebrate that feast. And as these people were speaking in other tongues, at least part of the manifestation was assigned to the unbeliever, because we had people here from all different countries. They spoke different languages. But when they heard these 120 speaking, they said, well, we know these are all Galileans, but we hear them in our native tongue. And they knew those Galileans did not know how to speak their native tongue. And they're going, how is this possible? Well, that allowed Peter to preach that message, starting with the prophecy from Joel. This is that which was prophesied by Joel. I will pour out in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and so forth. So he preaches that message, but come on down to Acts chapter 2. We'll start in verse 40. Verse 38. Really, verse 37. Okay, verse 37. Okay, maybe we can. Now, when they had heard this, when they heard his message, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, well, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a moment. Yes, these people got baptized in water that day. Hey, how's that for a baptismal service? You'll find out in a minute. 3,000. I bet that went on for a while. I bet they employed all 120. Helping baptize 3,000. It'd take a little spell now to baptize 3,000. But I'm telling you what else, because he's telling them, you're going to receive the same thing that you're seeing here. See, starting off, we had 120 filled with the Holy Ghost. But by sunset, you had 3,120 filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. He just said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Same thing. You're going to get the same thing that you've seen here. See? For the promise of this is that, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. That promise is unto you and to your children and to the prayer center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Well, to all that are afar off. That's us, everybody. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them, wow, about 3,000 souls. People, when this revival breaks out, it's going to change quick. Don't be moved by what you see. You better be getting ready. I hope you heard that prophecy that came. I can't believe he spoke it through me, but he did last Sunday. Can you hear the shofar? The Lord of hosts is coming. The Lord of angel armies is coming. You better, can you hear it? I heard it. I literally could hear it. It's off in the distance, but I could hear. You know what a shofar is? It's a ram's horn. If you ever, I've got one at home. I ought to bring it. But it, man, when that, the Lord of hosts is coming. Revival is coming. He's trying to get us ready. What if in one service, all of a sudden, we got 3,000 new people? And they all want to be baptized. You all going to work, all of you. Lock the doors, ain't nobody leaving. You're going to be laying hands on people. You're going to be baptizing people. You better not care about your Sunday best getting wet. We don't care. Anyway. These people loved God. They were already in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, but all they knew was Judaism. They didn't know nothing about what Jesus taught. They didn't know anything about Christianity until Peter preaches to them. And you notice it says with many other words. So there's no telling. I'm sure he preached the cross and him crucified to them. So anyway, they believed and they got saved and they got filled with the Holy Ghost and they got baptized with water. 3,000 of them. What a day. Now what do you do with them? What do you do with 3,000 brand new baby, can I say thumb sucking, bottle sipping, I don't mean liquor bottle, milk bottle sipping, baby, you got 3,000 of them. What do you do with them now? Well, let's continue reading. Verse 42. Oh, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You can tell that's going on more than one day, right? What is the apostles' doctrine? I thank God a few years ago he taught us what that was. Go to Matthew 28. This is right before Jesus ascended into heaven. Last instructions that he gave his apostles. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go you therefore and teach all nations. See, it's no longer restricted to the Gentiles. No longer restricted to the Jews. He's telling them plain now, this gospel is for everybody. I want you to go into all the nations. Before he said, just go to the Jews. But now, it's to all the nations. How many are glad about that? Boy, I'm glad about that. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe. And that word observe simply means to do. Teaching them to do all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We just found out what the apostles' doctrine is. This is what he told them to teach. So when these brand new 3,000 converts, this is the first level of hearing God. The first thing you need to do with brand new converts is read the red letters to them. You know what I mean by that? This is what Jesus said. This is the gospel he brought to us. They need to be taught Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The first level of hearing God, what did Jesus spoke? What did he say? That's the first level. Teach them to do everything I taught you. Well, as I've been learning all these years, I'm telling you right now, you want to hear God, do you? 90% of the questions that we, well, see, I hate to, I'm just guessing it's 88.7%. No, I'm just, the vast majority of the questions that we receive, you know, either by email, by letter, by whatever, the answer is already in the spoken words. Well, what do I do? They're treating me bad. They're hating me. They found out I was a Christian and they keyed my car. Gary, can you tell me what to do? Luke 6:27. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Pray for them. Help them. What? What? You already got the answer in the spoken word. Somebody said, he doesn't need to send you an email. He's already sent you a letter, you know. I like that. Well, I got a Lazarus laid at my gate. I mean, this guy, you know, he's just out there. He's got nothing. And, you know, what am I supposed to do with him? Give to every man that asks of thee. Now, see, that'll take you a long ways. I'm going to say the vast majority of the answers that you need are already in the spoken word. They're already in the red letters. These 3,000 new Christians, the first level of hearing God, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? I'm going to get to Barry's letter. In fact, I'm going to do that right now. We'll do that part right now. He went back to a teaching that Jim Martin had done several years ago. And it has everything to do with the word believe. See, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But for us, that same word is used over in John 14:12. And this is the mission of the prayer center. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. See, that's our quest. That's our assignment, to press in until that is literally happening. And I don't mean just through a thank God for everything we saw through Pastor Dave, but where the Lord is headed now, this is Joel's army. That thing is supposed to be happening through you. Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper. I will pour out my spirit on the fivefold. Is that what he said? I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by his spirit. We just need to learn how to flow with him. But part of that is, he starts this off saying, verily, verily, this is John 14:12. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, he that believeth on me. Well, Jim Martin, thank God for Dr. Jim Martin. He is a good scholar. And so he went to the Greek of the Greek and got all these definitions and things. So when I can't improve on it, I just steal Jim's stuff. I don't know what you do, but... No point in me reinventing the wheel here when I've got it in black and white. So what does it mean to believe scripturally according to the Greek and according to the context? There's 1, 2, 3 things here that Jim brought out. Number one, it is a recognition of who Jesus really is. It's recognizing that Jesus is the second person of the Godhead. And that he is deity. Now, he laid down that divinity. While he was on planet Earth, he operated totally as a man, anointed by the Holy Ghost. But, buddy, he was deity before and he is deity after. He is the second member of the Godhead. He was actually deity then. He just laid it down. He didn't operate by it. Okay. But you got to recognize, who is this speaking from heaven? Who is this that gave us the red letters? And he said, it's not even his word, it's the Father's. Well, we know that's God. God the Father. So it's recognizing that he is deity. Every time you read one of those red letters, it's a recognition that in everything, Jesus is the final authority. There is no appeal to a higher court. Jesus is the final authority. And if we're going to really, say it this way, if God's going to have his revival, the church has got to get this right. Jesus is the final authority. I don't care what your eyes see. I don't care what your ears hear. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what happened at the last church you went to. I don't care what happened at this church that you're going to. Jesus has the final authority. That's part of believing. I like it. The second part of believing. An affirmation of what Jesus said. In other words, when Jesus speaks, we agree with him. This is Jane C. the Ball here. When he speaks, we agree. Amen? And we find his words in red in the four Gospels. That's the end of the arc. That's the end of the discussion. When Jesus speaks, you just agree with him. Now, a lot of times your flesh does not like that at all. But the real you is not your flesh. And the third thing that Jim brought out, it is an acceptance of Jesus' standards. Now, for example, Peter was preaching. He was doing the apostles' doctrine thing. He was in his letters. He's teaching what he was taught. So he quotes and he says in 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, "But as he which calleth you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy." Now see, holiness is the standard. No gray. Holiness. If God's going to have his revival, the church has got to get this right. I said there were three, but there's actually four. I see that I missed one here. So the fourth one. That word believe means an absolute and unequivocal submission to Jesus' authority. Our response to Jesus is simply, yes, sir. And if God's going to have this revival, the church has got to have that right. We got to get that right. Okay? So, now I applied all of that to the red letters because he has spoken in these last days by his son. But see, really what we're looking at in Hebrews 12, let's talk about him that speaketh. Okay? So, back to my back and forth to my things here, but the first level of hearing God, what did he say? What did he say? Now see, that'll only take you so far. This is what I started to say a while ago, because you'll find in the red letters, one time when Jesus sent him out, he said, in the King James, it says, take no script with you. Plain English, take no money with you. Another time when he sent him out, take money with you. So see, the red letters will take you a long way, but you need more than just the red. You need more than what he spoke. You need what he speaks. You need your current marching orders from the Lord. You need to find out what he's saying now. And God, you know, he doesn't leave you in the same spot. You know, Paul started off as a prophet or teacher when he was in Antioch. But we know he wound up being an apostle. So there's promotion, there's change, He may want you in a certain city for a certain time. He may want you in another city for a certain time. So, again, Jesus is alive and well. But I'm going to say again, the vast majority of the answers that we need on how to live as a Christian are already in the red letter spoken words. But you do need the current level. That brings us to level two that I've been teaching them on how to hear God. First level, find out what he said in the red letters and obey that best you can. Second level, now we're talking about the new birth and Christ in you, which we call the new nature, but it's really his nature and it's Christ in you. And every time that you hear a pure thought bounded on either side by the conscience, that is the highway of holiness. If you want to know, Isaiah prophesied about the highway of holiness in the Old Testament. And I'm telling you, it is so much like the other day when I was reading Mark again. I saw it this time. You know, it says, enter in at the straight gate. Narrow is the way. And that straight, that word straight is not, it's not S-T-R-A-I-G, straight like a string, you know, straight. It's not that word. It's like a Strait of Gibraltar. It's like a narrow passage through which a ship would pass through. And Jesus was telling us that, you know, you got to enter in. And he talks about pressing. You know, we say, just say this little sinner's prayer and you're saved. But Jesus says you got to press into the kingdom. And the word press there means with extreme effort. So this time when I was reading about that straight gate, I saw like the Strait of Gibraltar, but it was much narrower than that. And the sea was just boiling. I mean, it was a storm and wind and the waves are just, if you ever saw the Perfect Storm movie, like that. I mean, just immense waves. And here's a strait has normally got rocky outcrops on both sides. And here, what I saw was like a ship from the 1800s that had a wooden mast and sails. And the wind is blowing like crazy, and the boat is going like this, and you've got to get it through that narrow passage. And if you wind up on the rocks on either side, you're going to sink. That's the image that Jesus drew, because that narrow way is the highway of holiness. That's righteousness right there. But I saw it so clear, that rocky outcropping on either side is the conscience. See, that's exactly what your conscience does. You've got to stay on the narrow way. And that conscience going, if you come this way, there's danger. You could sink. If you go that way, there's danger. And you can sink. You've got to stay on the narrow way. I saw it so clear. He was already prophesying about the new nature with the bounds of the conscience on either side. This is how you enter into the kingdom of God. And if you're going to continue in the kingdom of God, you're going to stay on that narrow way. And I don't see it as emptying out into a big lake either. I think it's a narrow way with rocks on both sides till the end. Because your conscience is going to guide you all the way. How many of you know temptation is not getting lighter, it's getting stronger out there? If Paul talks about his day being evil, dear Lord, Paul. Anyway, so that's really the second level of hearing God is learning not only what Jesus said in the red letters, but learning to follow that new creature, the new man, the spirit, that which is really Christ in you. He's telling you yes, no, yes, no. And that conscience, if you start to disobey it, thank God for the conscience on either side. There's danger. Don't go that way. Your ship will sink now. You stay in that narrow. Y'all know how the conscience works. Amen. So we got to teach them how to follow that. That's the second level of hearing God. And I said, and see the critical thing right there, and he's showing me again, that I kept telling them in Brazil and Mumbai, and I said, here's why that second level, most people, to be honest with you, want to kind of, okay, let's quickly get past this second level because I want to get to the third level where I hear God. But here's the big thing. Dave, over and over with love, but such persistence. You remember him saying that same place in you where you hear your conscience speak is the same place in you where the Holy Spirit speaks. And we don't get really good at obeying that conscience. And the image that Dave would draw, it's like, oh, my conscience is speaking. That door where he's talking to me, I'm going to nail a 2x4 over that door because I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. And maybe you can get by with it once, but if you persistently keep nailing 2x4s over that door because you don't want to hear the voice of your conscience, you want to do what you want to do. If you can consistently, it becomes seared. You know, the Bible talks about a seared conscience. It's not that the Holy Spirit is, we're not there yet. It's not that your conscience is not speaking. You have seared it. You have shut the door. You've nailed 2x4s over it. I don't want to hear that. I want to do what I want to do. Then you want to hear the Holy Ghost, and he's not withholding any good thing from you. He's speaking, trying to speak through that same door that you've got nailed shut. You're going, I don't know why I can't hear God. Well, you're trying to get to level 3 when you haven't yet mastered level 2. Always gets real quiet right there. Gary, how do you know so much about this? Going on to level 3. By the way, I know it's experience. I will tell you this, though. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. When you realize what you've done and you realize that, oh, God, I've seared my conscience. I've been there. And it doesn't mean in every area, but maybe some area, you know. Well, what do? You repent. You go right back to 1 John 1:9. You say, Lord, forgive me. I am so sorry. I know that I did it. I've been doing it for years. I am so sorry. Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you that when I approach the throne of grace, the first thing I find there is mercy because of the blood. Thank you for the blood. Lord, forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And now, Lord, I need your grace to help in my time of need. And he'll give it to you too. And you know that conscience will become tender. And I know this from not just the word, but from experience. Just immediately, just instantly, all of a sudden, all the two befores are gone off of that door. Now it's up to you. You're going to obey at this time or not going to obey at this time? You're going to leave that door wide open? You're going to nail a two before over it? There's some areas where I've had two befores, two by sixes, and a Mack truck backed up against that door. But anyway, so. And he still forgave me and gave me another chance and made my conscience tender again. So thank God for God. That's the second level. First level, they've got to know what Jesus said. That's the red letters. Teach them the apostles' doctrine, which is really Jesus' doctrine. Level two, teach them how to walk by the new nature and obey the conscience. That's Romans chapter 2, which you don't have time to teach it again today. Every thought either excusing or accusing, learn to follow that. See, and really that's Romans 8:14. If you really learn how to follow that, it says those that are led by the Spirit of God should be a little s. It's not talking about the Holy Ghost there. It's talking about that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has made you free from the law of sin and death. Those that learn to follow that, and that's level number two, they are the sons of God. And what that word sons there are several Greek words that could be used. You could use one Greek word for infant, but the word there is the Greek word for, really, it's the word you would use for a Jewish male at his bar mitzvah. He's finished his 12th year. They have a celebration. And really, they're saying, we declare today that our son is mature enough. We're declaring he's ready to participate in the family business. And I find that so interesting because when Jesus was 12 years old, they lost him. I've tried to imagine what Joseph's prayer was like during those 3 days. God, you know that son you sent us? We can't find him, God. We've lost him. You got another one you could send? I don't know. Anyway, I don't know what happens in your meditation time. Boy, you talk about a frantic search. But when they found him, you got to remember Jesus was 12 years old, right at that age. And they found him in the temple teaching. And they said, why did you do that? Why did you do that? And he said, well, don't you know? Now, in this interesting, he says, don't you know? I must be about my father's business. It's perfect. And that's the same age, the same word that's used there in Romans 8:14. Those that learn how to follow God by that new nature, second level, those that learn that, learn to say no when the conscience says no, okay? And follow that new nature, those are the sons of God. They've matured to the point they're ready. He's ready to use you in revival is what he's saying. You've learned. You become a mature son of God. You're ready to participate in the family business, which is for us, of course, the kingdom of God and your place in it. Whew, hallelujah. Now, we're getting to the third level. Yes, sir. Let me find my scriptures on that. Go to John 16. Start in verse 12. If you saw my Bible in Romans 8, there's all kinds of underlines and stars and marks. Well, John 16 is about the same way. There are lots. Boy. John 16, 15, 16, and 17, 14, 15, 16, and 17 have been some of the most precious of all the Word of God to me, and I've studied them so much over the years. Let's talk about Jesus is introducing the Holy Spirit. See, because they're up until this point, again, the 12, if they wanted to know what Jesus wanted them to do, they just ask, or he would just tell them, go loose the colt, go follow that guy with a pitcher on his head, and he'll lead you to an upper room, and so forth. He'd send them out to this city, that city, go do this and that. But now, you're leaving? He's telling them in this whole passage that he's leaving. Well, How are we supposed to follow you now? Well, he starts off here in verse 12, John 16, 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, the reason for that, they weren't born again yet. Okay, he spoke mostly in parables, now to the disciples he would tell a little more. But he'd brought them as far as he could until they get a spirit that can be taught by God, a new nature. Okay, verse 13. But he's introducing the Holy Spirit. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come? He will guide you into all truth. Boy, this next part. For he shall not speak of himself. See, Jesus said that same thing about himself. I don't speak of myself. The words I'm speaking to you, I did not originate them. I'm speaking to you what the Father is saying. That's Jesus. That's why he's called, one of the reasons, he's the Word of God. He spoke exactly what the Father was saying all the time. Well, he's saying the same thing about the Holy Spirit. He's not going to originate the words to you either. He shall not speak of himself, but notice, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. That's got more to do with your calling than it does end time prophecy, just by the way, although he can do that. Now, verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, see, earlier in John 14, this is all, if you look at it, it's all virtually all red letters here. This is a long message to them. Remember in John 14, 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. And you know the word there is orphan. I will not leave you. The Greek word is O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. How many of you know Jesus in his glorified body has not come back to us? Hello. Jesus in his glorified body is seated at the right hand of the Father. So when he says, I will come to you, and he couples that up with orphan, he's not talking about when he returns at the final coming day of the Lord, because they would have been an orphan that their whole life. These men have all been long gone, you know. No, how is he going to come to you? I said, because they're going, well, if you leave, what? How in the world are we supposed to follow you now? He said, well, I'm not going to leave you orphan. Well, an orphan has to find their own way, provide their own food, take care of themselves. He says, I'm not going to leave you like that. I will come to you. And in chapter 16, he's telling them how he's going to come to you. He said, the Spirit of truth. Now, there's a paraphrase that I wrote that I've got here. I really do like on this. John 16, verses 12 through 15. Same verses that we just read. I really like this paraphrase. He said, there is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. Boy, that is just really well said right there. He's telling them how he's going to come to them. All that belongs to the Father is mine. In other words, he is the King of the kingdom right now. You do know at the very end of all things, it says Jesus is going to hand the kingdom back to the Father. But for now, he is, all that the Father has is mine. He is the King of the kingdom. All that the Father has is mine. That is why I said the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will tell you whatever he receives from me. God had email figured out and text messages 2,000 years before man ever thought of anything like that. Through the process of the Holy Spirit, because he is omnipresent, he is as much with Jesus in heaven at this moment, and I mean the glorified man, God, Jesus, as he is with each and every one of us. And only God could do this, that he could hear the mind, not only the overall mind of Christ for the church, but he can hear the mind of Christ for Jake. He can hear, and I mean every day, and I mean every hour of the day. And for Alan, all of us. My name, I'm doing pretty good on names really right now. It's amazing. This is how we hear the Holy Spirit. And somebody was asking me questions, and I'm going, now, because they're going, yeah, but I just can't hear him. I said, you're telling me. Now, let me just make sure that I'm getting this straight. And I did it in a real nice way, you know, as this is one of those overseas things. You're telling me that Jesus devised a plan that won't work. This is his plan for you hearing him. And you're telling me it don't work. I don't believe that. I believe you may have a conscience problem. Or, I always recommend to them Dave's two-message series, Distinguishing God's Voice. That is a really good training. That doing that for, now, people don't like to hear this part. For myself, doing what Dave says on there, it's simple, it's two messages. I practiced it not for days, not for weeks, but for months. And I mean hours and hours a day. It should not take you that long, okay? See this bone? There's a lot of bone right here. This skull is thick, and it took the Holy Spirit a while to get it across to me. But eventually I began to hear him, and that's exactly how the face-to-face documents came. They're just true. Every now and then I go through them again. I read that, and I go, dear God, I'm not that smart. That's got to be the Holy Ghost, you know? That's Jesus' plan. The Holy Spirit is here for you to get your daily email from heaven, can I say, and really from Jesus himself. We're going to come to the place where you walking with the Holy Spirit is going to be no less than you walking side by side with Jesus himself. He said to me more than once, his voice should be the most easily heard voice by all of his children. Jesus did not devise a plan for you to hear him that does not work. This works. Well, my experience tells me otherwise. If you're going to live by what you see and what you feel, you got a ways to go. The first level is submit to the authority of these red letters. And what did he say? He will take of mine and show it unto you. He's not going to speak of himself. What he hears, that's what he tells you. So this is why years ago I coined the phrase, the Holy Spirit has not come to replace the lordship of Jesus. He has not come to be your Lord. The Holy Spirit has come to bring you the lordship of Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. But the Holy Spirit, he is the one that has been sent to bring us the mind of Christ. And sometimes it's collective for the whole church. Sometimes it's collective for a specific church. And sometimes it's for you individually. See, Sue and I'm not going to go through the instructions. Tim and Leah told us years ago, the ministry that we have, they said, we never saw any other ministry start the way you started. And part of it was just giving everything away free, you know, and some other instructions that we had. And we were never allowed to send out an appeal letter. I'm not against any of those things. I mean, you know, it's not wrong to let people know what you're doing or a need that the ministry has. And if they want to help, you know, there's nothing wrong with any of that. But see, I just know what he spoke to me. I heard him who speaks from heaven. How did you hear it? By doing what Pastor Dave taught on distinguishing God's voice. We heard him. I got my marching orders. I got my instructions. And let me tell you, those instructions got tested over the years more than once. If you think the enemy is just going to let you hear God and leave you alone while you accomplish God's will on earth, you got another thing coming. But that old thing is like, oh, if it's really God. Yeah, I'm making fun a little. If it's really God, the path he called you to, he opens doors that no man can shut. Every door will be open on that path. I remember the first time I heard Dave say, well, that's strange. Because every time I hear God and step out to obey him, the first sound I hear is every door on that path shutting. The devil's doing everything he can trying to stop me from going the way that God told me to go. Well, boy, we've had our instructions, giving everything away free and not sending out appeal letters. I tell you, it got so bad there one time. You know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I can figure out how to write a letter that's not an appeal letter, that is an appeal letter. Because I wouldn't ask you, oh, would you please help us? Help, won't you help me, Jesus? You know, we're needing a computer. We need $40 gazillion by Friday or whatever. You know, that's an appeal letter, right? Well, you don't write it like that, see? I'm going to obey Jesus, uh-huh. Write a nice letter and write it at the end of it. Oh, by the way, please be in agreement with us that we'll receive this new computer that the ministry needs. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, I didn't ask them for anything. But see, that's a lie straight out. That is disobedience straight out. That is letting them know the needs of the ministry, and he said, don't let them know that. Now, that's, again, I'm not against letting people. You got to do what he tells you. See, you got to do, but whatever he says and you obey it, just know the enemy's going to come try your ground. Yes, sir. I will say this because I hear it. His words to you, you are the anchor for your soul. How did you get through those times without disobeying? I would go back and read those again. Be like Habakkuk. Write the vision. Make it plain. That he that readeth can run thereby. And most often, you're the one that readeth. We'd go back and read it again, Sue and I. Because, I mean, it get bad. It can get really bad. We'd go back and read it again. What did he say? This is what he said. We're not going to change from it. We're going to do it. Sink, swim, live under a bridge, go to jail. We're going to do what he said. Well, now, see, that's obeying him that speaketh. Because I can't find those instructions in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Sometimes he'd say, take no money. Sometimes he'd say, take money. You got to find out what he's saying to you. Isn't that right? Okay. So now, in the context of all of that, so the third level of hearing God is where you do hear the Holy Ghost. And I took them to, and I don't want to teach that today. We've only got 8 minutes left. But listen, it's not just for the fivefold. I took them to Ananias. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Acts. Be turned into Acts. I know it's in Acts. Maybe 7, 8, or 9 right in there somewhere. Sorry. I didn't know he was going there. I would have had it for you. Okay. Here we go. See, this is... Look at Acts 9, verse 10. I guess I am going to teach it. And there was a certain disciple. Now, that's important. If you underline, please underline the word disciple. We never hear anything else about this guy. We're lucky we have his name. Ananias. In Portuguese, they say Ananias. but he's not in the fivefold. This is not the same Ananias that later on fell dead and all of that. This is a different guy. And... he's not an apostle, prophet, pastor. It says he is a disciple. Dave would say he's Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper. He's just like you. But this guy has developed himself to where he can hear him who speaks, who speaketh from heaven, more than just the red letter words. Okay? So there was a certain, and this is a perfect illustration of hearing God by the Holy Ghost. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord, now notice, in a vision. That's the Holy Spirit. The language of the Holy Spirit is visions and dreams. Now, he can bring you words. He can bring you just revelation. 1 minute you didn't know, and the next moment you know, and you don't know how you know, but you'd lay your life down that you know. Okay? But trust me, the Lord did not leave his seated position in his glorified body at the right hand of God in heaven to come visit Ananias. No, this is a vision. And this is part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So there was a certain disciple at Damascus. He's Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper, named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street, which is called Straight. Inquire. Now, boy, notice the precise instruction you can get from the Holy Ghost. And really, it's the instruction from the mind of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is only in this vision. He is presenting the mind of Christ for Ananias. Okay? go to a particular street. Be like today, go to Harvard. Go over here to Harvard in Tulsa. That street was named straight. And inquire in the house of Judas. Well, he may not have known where that house was, but you go to the street called Straight. Go, anybody know where Judas lives? Oh, yeah, he lives right over there. Okay, knock, knock, knock. And then inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul. Knock, knock, knock. Hello, I'm Judas. Is Saul here? Yes. I have a word from the Lord for Saul. Okay, come on in. For he prayeth. And notice the Lord's working both ends of this at the same time. He's got a vision going on with Ananias. And at the same time, there's a vision going on with Saul of Tarsus. For he, Saul, hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias. God even told Saul who's coming and told him by name. Listen, you can hear him precisely. This is all, you got the same Holy Spirit that Ananias had. You got the same Jesus that Ananias had. Okay? And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now, what I love about this one, it's a vision, but Ananias is allowed to talk back in it. And he's very human. He goes, then Ananias answered, I'm going to inflect my voice. I don't know that it was really like this, but it brings it across. See, I tell people all the time, it's one thing to get to where you can hear God. It's another thing to get dead enough where you can obey God. Now, I'm going to inflect my voice. Lord, what? You want me to pray for who? I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And Lord, I'm not sure you're aware of this, but are you aware that he has authority from the chief priest to arrest all that call on your name? Lord, are you sure? You want me to go pray for who? It's one thing to hear God. What's amazing to me, the Lord didn't rebuke him for asking. He just gives him an answer. He's treating him like a friend. You know, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. And the Lord said unto him, go thy way. Do what I told you. You do what I said. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And you know the story. The point is, Ananias, now he had some concerns. And I'm telling you, when you hear God, a lot of times your mind is going to have some concerns. When he told us to send all of our materials for free, my mind had a lot of concerns. Because at that moment, money, that was right in the heart of the days when money was staying away from us in great abundance. I would preach the Bible studies like we had all the money in the world. But on the inside, I was praying, Lord, don't let them shut the electricity off till after everybody leaves. I mean, it was bad. And I want you to send everything free. And I'm going, are you sure, Lord? Like Ananias, Lord, are you sure? Durst thou not knoweth? We don't know where breakfast is coming from. Go thy way. Do what I told you. Do what I've told you. You do your part, I'll do my part. And he always did. Okay. Okay. I hear, close your Bible. He knows me. He knows me so well. Because I got about 4 or 5 minutes left here. Listen, what is prophecy? What is real prophecy? Now, not if there's a lot of phony prophecy. But real prophecy is him that speaketh from heaven. Real prophecy is him that speaketh from heaven. Your blueprint, your personal prophecies, yours, that whatever he says to you, I just tell you right now, that is your life. You submit to his authority. This is what the King, the Master, God in the flesh has said to you. There's no higher debate. There's nowhere to go. There's no higher court. That's what you do. Even if it costs you your life. That's it. See, these people that have a problem with real prophecy, that is Jesus speaking from heaven, or it's not prophecy. Now, I say Jesus. Could be sometimes the Father speaks. Sometimes the Holy Spirit has spoken, explaining to me how he brings me things, okay? They all three have a voice. But the goal of prophecy is the kingdom of God, and there's only one king. And when it's real, it's him. Refuse not him that speaketh, not spoke. Don't refuse the spoke either, but refuse not him. What if Ananias had refused him? How important was it that Saul of Tarsus get saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, who became the Apostle Paul, that converted so many regions of that part of the world and wrote, what, half of the New Testament or more? How important was it? And he was just a disciple, it says. He was just a disciple. So, but see, this one, these 10 prophecies that we're calling the blueprint for 2020, this is for the church. This is for us. This is for the prayer center and anybody around the world that has linked arms. And really, it's more than the prayer center, for the end-timed revival who wants to be a part of it. Okay? And he who speaks from heaven has given us these 10 prophecies. And it's no less than Jesus speaking from heaven. So I'm just going to read two or three paragraphs. This one is from the prophecy. Hang on. Yes. Bring me gold. Have I not given you a mandate from the very beginning, says the Spirit of grace. And I have gathered your hearts and soul here as one to bring forth that mandate of prayer, says the Spirit of the Lord. Go into me like you never have. I don't know what that means to you, see. I don't know what your prayer life, I'm not looking at anybody on purpose. I don't know what your prayer life has been. I don't know what the most prayer you've ever done in your life is. But when he says, go into me like you never have. For me, I had the opportunity in the trucks, you know, to pray 40, 50, 60 hours a week. I said, when I read that, I went, Lord, is that what you're saying? That's exactly what he's saying. So the prayer, you know, that we've opened up the prayer center for corporate prayer, basically 20 hours a week. That schedule of Wednesday from 4 p.m. to 10, Friday from noon to 10, and Saturday morning from 7 to noon. If you add that up, it's right around 20 hours a week. Well, if you attend those in corporate prayer for Gary, I'm halfway home. So, and Sue would tell you if she's here, she wouldn't lie to you. I don't leave my prayer life to chance. Pretty well get in my other 20 at home. But when he says, go into me like you've never gone before, for me, that's, I don't know what that is for you. Okay? See, you've got to talk to him about that. And I'm not trying to brag. I'm just, you all know it's true. That's just my history. Y'all already know that story. Well, for me, what does that mean? That means it's a lot of prayer. How about this one? Come away with, this is from Intimacy is the Hour You Live In. Come away with me, my beloved. Come away with me. For I must woo you into a place of intimacy to have you as the forerunners, to have you as the forerunners to the great revival. We are the forerunners. A lot of people are going to join later, and they're going to have to go through a lot of purging in order to participate. We're the forerunners. We're in boot camp before the war. Okay. Complete. This is from Complete the Purging Process. Hear this instruction. Forgive everyone of all things at all times. Leave nothing contrary in your heart to the image of where you are going, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hold no one captive. And sometimes getting them, what he means is in your heart, hold, you got to loose them and let them go. And sometimes that may take some prayer time. That may take some fasting. That may take some worship before really it's done in your heart. And you know it's done. Now they may still hate your guts, but you let them go. You're not holding them captive in your heart. And I got to stop. So just go through the 12 again. Listen. Refuse not him that is speaking from heaven. Well, he spoke to us through the red letters. This year, he has spoken to us by the blueprint. then as you do the blueprint, he's going to be speaking to you individually. And as you do that, we're all pressing into revival. And we'll see you in 30 minutes.